Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings nine-month 2017 financial results conference call. Following an overview by FBN Holdings management team, an interactive Q&A session will be available. I'd now like to hand the call over to Mr. Hugues Eke, Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Hugues Eke, the Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings PLC. With me on this investor and analyst presentation call for Q3 numbers are Kayode Akinkugbe, who is the CEO of FBN Merchant Bank. I also have Val Ojuma, the CEO of FBN Life Insurance. I have Patrick Iyabo, who is the CFO, the Commercial Bank, and Segun Lebiosu, who is the CRO at the Commercial Bank. Let me confirm that the presentation has already been posted to our website. I hope you've had time to look through the numbers ahead of this call. I am pleased to report a very strong group performance for Q3 2017. I'm particularly delighted because the commitments we made during the half-year call, we've delivered substantially on those numbers, as you will see when we begin the full presentation. Clearly, it gives us confidence to say that we're well-positioned to deliver on the commitment we made to drive profitability and also deliver value to our shareholders. Over the last three quarters, we have posted very healthy results quarter-on-quarter, which speaks. Apologies for the loss in transmission. We are back on the conference call. I was speaking to the sustained accretion to foreign reserves following the rising crude oil price and also production volume. I said that at $32.5 billion, we are seeing the highest foreign reserves in the last for 2 years now, which speaks to the strength and the capacity of Central Bank to defend the naira. I also made reference to moderating yields on investment securities. This is supportive of earnings of very liquid banks like FirstBank and the group in general. We are seeing a narrowing of spread in the foreign exchange market as CBN sustains its intervention in the foreign exchange market. Moving on to slide six. I think on slide six, I will only call out one item there, which is CBN's guideline to banks to continue to commence a parallel run of IAS 39 and IFRS 9 by October 1. For us, as a group, we have undertaken a very rigorous assessment of our current position, and we believe that there wouldn't be any significant negative on our numbers arising from this run. Slide seven basically highlights the resilience of the group in terms of revenue-generating capacity sustained from a stronger balance sheet. First, you will see that we achieved 5.2% year-on-year growth in our gross earnings. PBT was down 3.5% year-on-year, but this is largely accounted for by the Rival gain of 60 billion we booked in 2016, which did not occur in 2017 at that level. PAT was up 7.7% year-on-year, which is good. Also, we are seeing improving loan book as the legacy NPLs are charged off through P&L. As a matter of fact, we are decelerating impairment charges, as you can see, and we again like to confirm that there are no new formations of NPL in our books. On OpEx, we are moving in the right direction with increase of 8.4% year-on-year, which is well below the inflation rate of 16% and above, under which we operated for the most part of 2017. We think that we will sustain our drive towards cost containment to be able to deliver on the commitments we made. Interestingly, still on that slide, you will see low-cost deposits remaining very healthy. For the commercial bank, we are seeing the low-cost deposit, which is savings bucket and current account, at nearly 85% of deposits, which speaks to a very strong ability to drive our NIMs upwards. I'll go to the next slide, which is 8. And I think the points I made the previous slide amplified here on slide 8, talking about NPL ratio, which is down to 20% now from 25% last year, about this time last year. Cost of risk is down to 5.6%. And then our coverage is approaching 60%. Now, capital at the commercial bank is 17.2, which turns very quickly to 18.5 if we capitalize our year-to-date earnings. And of course, at the merchant bank, we maintain a very healthy capital ratio of 23%. If you capitalize the current earnings, also we are above 25% at the merchant bank. NIMs, very strong, 8.8%, improving from 7.5% prior period. And for cost-to-income ratio, you would see that we have done very well. In fact, if you adjust for the reval gain that we booked last year, the cost-to-income ratio for 2016 would have been 58.9%, and therefore you will see that at 53.5% for 2017, we have done well in terms of managing costs. Those are the major ratios I would like to call out on that slide. Slides 9 and 10 essentially focus on the fundamental changes we have implemented in the course of 2017, which underpin our operations. And as we gain traction, you will see the impact coming through in our P&L and also the balance sheet for the period. I'd like to mention in particular the revenue and efficiency improvement we've achieved arising from collaboration and synergy between our operating entities, asset management at the merchant bank and asset management group, working with the insurance and also working with the commercial bank. We have gained traction using the business referral application that drives cross-selling. Also, worthy of mention on this slide is our digital banking and innovation play. I think the key things to highlight here, which lends credence to our claim as the foremost bank in that space. One, we have been awarded the highest card transacting bank and also highest issuer of BEV cards in Nigeria by the switching platform in Nigeria here. And also, First Bank Nigeria was recognized as the first bank in Nigeria and West Africa, to issue 10 million cards to customers. And this obviously has revenue implications as customers begin to transact multiple activities or transactions through our platforms. I think the next slide basically speaks to what we committed at the beginning of this year by way of guidance. You would see running through that we have delivered and made steady progress on all the areas highlighted there. NPL below 20, that was what we committed for end of year. We are about 20 right now. Cost of risk, we got it to 6 to 7. We are below, we are about 5.6 currently. Cost to income ratio, we are below the guidance we gave. And on ROE, we are spot on at 10%. NIM, we are above the guidance, 8.8, and we see this improving also as we reprice and optimize our assets. Cost of funds, we are at the level we guided, 3 to 4. We are currently at 3.5. And deposits, you recall that we made a commitment to grow around about 10% and also loan book 5 to 10. But this was on the back of expected deval. It hasn't happened. The year hasn't ended. But we do believe that should there be any adjustments on the exchange rate, we should be able to deliver on deposit growth and also loan growth. So essentially, we have delivered on virtually all of the commitments we made at the beginning of this year. We think that we would sustain this great performance as we close 2017. But we are not focused on 2017 alone. We, as you see on slide 12, which is the last slide I will speak on, had said that we are guided by our 2017 strategic initiatives. We are following a three-year planning cycle. And clearly, we believe that we will deliver on those commitments we made. What are those commitments? One, we said that we will achieve by 2019 a single-digit NPL. We believe we will deliver that. Cost of risk, we said we will do less than 2% by 2019. We are on track to deliver this. Cost to income ratio, we believe that we can achieve a sub-50 by 2019, given what we are doing in terms of the enterprise risk management and enterprise resource planning initiatives. We believe we are on track to also deliver a very respectable cost to income ratio below 50%. And on ROE, we also do believe that we should move back to above 20% by 2019. And so we are confident that the group is now well positioned to deliver to our shareholders. At this point, I would pause, and then we'll be glad to take questions. Thank you very much.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Tolu Alamutu. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for hosting the conference call today. I have a few questions, mainly on asset quality. The first is, could you maybe give an update on the three large NPLs which you've discussed in previous conference calls? And related to that, can you maybe update us on your exposure and provisioning as it relates to Etisalat and Owando? Secondly, on asset quality, there appears to be have been a small increase in oil and gas NPLs in Q3 of about 5 billion naira. I just wanted to know whether that was maybe related to interest that you've capitalized or something. And then on your foreign currency deposits, it looks like there was a significant decline in the third quarter. Can you maybe tell us why that was? It looks like it's gone down to about 408 billion from 470 or so. And finally, on your bonds, obviously there's a bond that's callable next year. I just wanted to know whether you've given any more thoughts to potentially replacing that bond, whether with a senior bond or subordinated bond. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tolu. Can we take one more question just so that we can batch it up and respond?
And we'll take our next question from Muiwa Ani from SBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The first is on the recent judgment on BVN, and I wanted to understand what that, so for accounts that weren't linked to BVN, having banks forfeit those funds, I wanted to understand what the implications was for your bank. And then secondly, Q on Q, there was a 2% growth in your net loans. I want to get what's the driver of that and your kind of opportunities you see for loan growth in 2018. And then also if you could share some of your guidance for 2018 around ROE, NPL, cost of risk. I know you presented your 2019 targets, but if you could present some 2018 figures. That would be helpful.
Thank you very much, Buiwa. Okay, let's take the we'll respond to the question, starting with the ones raised by Tolu, and I will invite the CRO to kick off.
On the big MPO we discussed in previous conference calls, largely Atlantic Energy, ITO. For Atlantic Energy, we've made progress in the last quarter, and we are optimistic that the issue will be resolved. But as we mentioned earlier, we've also taken 30% provision to just be on the prudent side. So we're working through the bureaucracy to ensure that we have the asset back with us on rectified. And on ITO, it's yet to be, ITO is restructured, or has been restructured, but it's yet to be declassified. As we also guided in the last conference call, we insisted that the auditors will have to take a decision on declassification, because as First Bank, we prefer to remain prudent and allow auditors to take a decision rather than we taking a decision and coming back again or whatever reason that we might have we might have to prevent any segment in decision. So it remains what it is, and then we will allow auditors to take decision. On Etisalat, we mentioned last time that our exposure was 1.25% of the loan book. It remains so. And that exposure is watchlisted, as you know, for virtually all in the industry, and we've taken 10% charge just for watchlisting to be on the prudent side. You are aware that there are interested investors in Etisalat or Nine Mobile, and that the selection process is currently ongoing. So we believe that once that is concluded, we'll be out of discussions, in respect of EMTS. On Oando, like I just mentioned, Oando PLC exposure in our book is about 0.05%. And as of today, we have not classified the account as non-performing because we believe that ownership dispute that SEC is investigating has not impacted the operations of the company. We believe that it has nothing to do with discharge of fuel at the pump. It has nothing to do with the operations of the company for now. And therefore, there will be no need for us to take impairment on that. On increase in interest in oil, impairment in oil and gas. As you might be aware that under IFRS, even when you impair an asset, you still have to charge the interest on the account, and then you can suspend, you can park it. But you still have to charge the interest because it's still on the books. And so what you've seen as an increase in oil and gas exposure during the period, in MPO, whatever you see in the whole thing, is just because of that interest that needs to be charged on that that portion of asset, and has nothing to do with increase in impairment itself.
Thank you. The CFO, Patrick, will speak to the FTY deposit decline and also the bonds, callable 2018.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. So there are two key drivers to the FTY deposit drop. The first is really the general attractive rate environment for Naira, meaning that some of the depositors took advantage of that. The second has to do with a pay down of a key depositor. I mean, you're all aware of it, the NNPC TSA, which we announced we fully paid off. And of course, that is coming out of deposits. So in paying down that customer's deposit, that went out accordingly. In terms of the bonds that are callable next year, these are really 2020-2021 bonds. We continue to have great market access. Given recent transaction, we all know that the Nigerian debt is an attractive play at the moment. So in summary, we do have the opportunity to call on those instruments if we want to. It's a right we is an option we have, and we are exploring the situation and we'll make the decision as necessary.
Okay.
If I may go back to the issue of net loan growth in the third quarter, yes, it, and as explained on one of our slides, basically growth in manufacturing, agri, and in general commerce. And we guided earlier in our previous conference calls that we have redefined our credit strategy. Again, that our target market definition has changed, and that we will prioritize loan to good counterparties and in sectors that support the economy and the balance sheet growth. That will demonstrate in third quarter. There was loan growth in third quarter truly, and was basically to manufacturing, agriculture, and general commerce, and then and the other marginal goods as well.
Okay, Dr. Shola Adedutan, the CEO of the Commercial Bank, has joined us, and he would like to take the question on BVN. Shola, please.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, let me first of all just reiterate the fact that the judgment regarding BVN is an industry-wide matter. We are tackling it jointly as an industry, and the committee, the body of CEOs of banks, the body of chief compliance of banks, and the body of legal advisors of banks, we are all collectively working on this, and it's something that we would rather take and deal with using the right channels. But in terms of potential impact on the bank, if this judgment is enforced after we've appealed, I think the impact on us is quite marginal. Again, as exemplified by the bank's very robust deposit base and a strong liquidity base. So it's nothing to lose. It's not one of those things that keep us awake, but we are dealing with the matter jointly at the CEO levels in the industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Muiwa raised a question on the guidance for 2018. At this point, we are unable to provide that. We are working on our budget for 2018, and by the time we make our the announcement of our result 2018, we will be in a position to give guidance for. When we make announcement of our result for 2017, in 2018, we will provide guidance for 2018, please. So just bear with us, and we'll give you those guidance numbers in due course. Thank you. Let's move on to next questions, please.
And we'll take our next question from Ronak Gadia with EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thanks for the presentation. My questions are very much on the same theme as the previous callers on the asset quality. Firstly, to begin with Atlantic Energy, would you be able to remind us what the exposure is on that loan? And also, in terms of resolution, I guess you're expecting the loan to be resolved by 2019. That's how your NPL ratio drops to single digits. But how realistic is that assumption, given that we're entering into an electioneering period and the loan is quite politically sensitive? The second question is to do with IFRS 9. I guess you mentioned that the impact will not be significant, but we would appreciate if you could share the specifics on the impact of the regulation. And the third one is to do with NPLs outside Nigeria. If I put the figures together, it seems like the NPL ratio outside Nigeria has increased from about 23% at the start of the year to about 28% by the end of 9 months. And if we go back a couple of years, I guess the NPL ratio outside Nigeria was virtually zero. So if you could share if you could share some information on what exactly is going on outside Nigeria, I'm guessing most of these NPLs are coming from your UK subsidiary. And also regarding your UK subsidiary, if we look at the annual report, it seems like the subsidiary's capital levels were below the regulatory minimum. So has that position been resolved? And if it has, how much capital went into the business? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renan. Can we take another question? Or other set of questions?
And we'll take our next question from Ola Ogunsanya from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. My first question is really around the strategy going into a low-yield environment in 2018. So what levels will actually trigger First Bank to start to consider lending again? And secondly, it's more a sector-wide question. Do you think NPLs have peaked for the sector? And if you could also just please provide a timeline for when you think everything around the TSLAT will be resolved. Thank you.
Okay, let's respond to the questions.
If I start from the last one, strategy for lending. At First Bank, we continue to lend. As you may have observed, in Q3, loan actually grew. So we continue to lend. But our focus will be more of manufacturing, agri, general commerce. And as we move into 2018, you will see us moving into retail because the operating environment, as macroeconomic environment improves, you will see more employment coming up, more stability in employment and all that, and salaries will come in, and you can see a lot of play in retail space, which we will do. That we should expect in more in 2018. Well, we might not be able to speak to the entire industry on NPL because we don't have data of other institutions. But for First Bank, We mentioned and we disclosed the last time, I mean, our NPL was high 26, and then we guided the market, but for 2017, we will have NPL not more than 20. And as at Q3, we're already on that landing space. And we believe that moving forward, we can only improve on our own NPL. But industry NPL, we might not be able to speak to that, but generally, other banks will be able to speak to theirs, and I think they will be able to take an informed decision from there. On Etisalat, on Nine Mobile, as you may be aware, that selection of interested parties is currently ongoing, and that with the timeline specified, we believe that between Q1 or Q2 2018, everything about Nine Mobile should have been fully resolved, and we will know where that will end. Then the question on Atlantic Energy, we disclosed that it was about 6% of our loan book. And we did not guide that we plan to resolve it in 2019. We guided that the resolution of Atlantic Energy was closer than ever. And that it was not a matter of if, but when, and that we've moved closer to that. Now we are working through the bureaucracy to ensure that it's resolved. The fear about the political environment moving into it, because it's politically sensitive, which we appreciate, politics could actually resolve it faster than you expect 2019 to play. And so we are working toward resolution of that earlier than 2019. To ensure that the loan book and the NPL. So if we resolve 2018, you will see the NPL going towards the single digit that we all promised, because that, from mathematics, you discover that single NPL will take us, could move us towards that. And then you see the about NPL outside Nigeria, as you may recollect or must observe, that we disclosed in our 2016 conference call that we had one of impairment in FBN UK, which actually impacted our result, and that we took provisions because we wanted to be prudent. Essentially, we took provision of almost 46, 48 billion at our 2016 financial years to demonstrate our commitment to prudent management of our, impairment. We did that and we disclosed that. NPL outside Nigeria had never been zero because when we bought assets, we bought banks and subsidiaries in 2012, we bought legacy banks. Well, they were not new licenses. And the NPL could never have been zero. The NPL of those subsidiaries remained where they were. And then we tried to walk through to see how we clean up the legacy asset and be able to accelerate growth as we develop our franchise across subsidiaries. That we maintain. And so what you've seen in NPL in Q3 were just accumulation, as we said before, that even if we repair a loan, IFRS insists that you must calculate interest on same. And so if I have calculated interest on my loans in Q3, but if I've not grown the base, you will see the top coming up. And that's what you've seen. Like, you've noticed that NPL moving from 24 to 27, and it was more because of the interest on the NPL loan that you have. And we disclosed earlier about our FBA UK.
Okay, this is Patrick. I will comment very quickly on the UK capital position, as well as IFRS 9 question. In terms of the UK business, the CAR is currently north of 19%, specifically more than 200 basis points higher than what is required, even after including the regulatory buffers put forward by the PRA. So from a capitalization viewpoint, it's well capitalized and in a great position to continue to grow the business. In terms of IFRS 9, we ran the figures a bit, and the expected impairment coming out of IFRS 9 is already factored into our impairment run rate to the end of the year, which we estimate, and the impairment run rate to the end of the year, as you know, it's about 120 billion. We're currently re-simulating that, and she'll see if there are movements from where it is. We took a viewpoint around, but quite frankly, we do not expect any material movement. In any case, the reserve of recoveries that are not yet recognized on the books will frankly ensure that we can always defend the earnings run rate we have as an institution to the end of the year. So from an IFRS 9 viewpoint, we are comfortable.
Thank you very much, Patrick. Can we go back to the questions, please? Questions?
Yes. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And we'll take our next question from Alvin Chu with Trend Capital. Please go ahead.
All right, thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation. Basically, just one question on the asset quality. I believe one of the three large NPLs relates to a loan to a company that's secured by properties, both in Lagos and in London. Now, I think the last update I've got from management was that the buyers have been identified for these properties, and you are involved in a sales process. So, I'd like to hear an update on that front. And then on the loan to Atu, understand that you're awaiting auditors review and whether a reclassification is warranted. But could management give us perhaps a time frame? I mean, do you expect this to happen in the fourth quarter? Because I think the last update we've got was that the reclassification would happen in the third quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we have one or two more questions, then we'll respond?
And we'll take our next question from Andubisi Obika from Sandvik IBTC Pensions. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation. I have just two questions. First of all, I would like to know your assessment of the likely impact of IFRS 9 on your capital. I understand it, you may not need to make it, but do you expect further within the capital of the bank right now? Also, I'd like to know how much recovery you made this year and how much more you expect towards the end of the year.
Thank you, Ndubisi. CRO.
Yeah. On the exposure secured by land and properties in Nigeria and London, you might be mentioning one of our exposures that have been restructured that we also disclosed that we are waiting for the auditors to declassify now in Q4. When we guided earlier that it might drop off in Q3, we were expecting that work will have commenced on the preliminary audit for the year, but we have not accelerated that process, and therefore we expect the ITO loan, decision to be in Q4, either to reclassify or not, but we will err on the side of conservatism and to be prudent in what we do, and therefore we'll leave that decision to be taken by an external party. On recoveries, recoveries or written off loan a year to date is about 4 billion. But we guided earlier that for 2017, we expect recoveries in the north of 20s. We stand by that guidance based on the reserve of recoveries a year to be recognized in the P&L as a Q3. And we understand and appreciate, the expectation, but the reality is that we are going to deliver recoveries in the north of 20s.
And then to the IFRS 9 question, I think it's similar to the question that was earlier asked and I responded to. The financial impact for IFRS 9 is already factored into our impairment charge run rate for the year. So if the question is whether we expect any additional impact, the answer is no. That said, we are conducting fresh analysis again, and we do not expect that the fresh impact impact assessment will materially differ from what it was we initially assessed. But frankly, having said all that, and if you cue this into the comment the CRO mentioned a short while ago, we do have enough earnings buffer, not yet reflected on the books, to take care of any surprise impairment charge without disrupting the current earnings run rate that we've seen to 3Q 2017.
Thank you, Patrick. Next question, please.
And we'll take our next question from Oyen Kong Ogung Bimile with Standard Chartered Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Two questions. First question, you mentioned that you hope to achieve a single-digit NPL in 2019. Can you please guide us on how you would be doing that? And then second question is, I know banks are meant to submit a resolution plan to the CBN. Has FBN done that? And if they have, do they intend to make this document public?
Have any other question queued up so we can take?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay, the CRO will respond to questions.
Okay. We guided that we achieve single-digit NPL by 2019. And we plan to do that by, one, aggressive loan recovery and remediation. Second is to grow the loan book. Simultaneously, the two will occur. One, We do know that the key loans, once resolved, the NPL will drop materially. We also know that Atlantic Energy, once resolved, will have material impact on our NPL. The second question, resolution and recovery plan to CBN. I mean, for every systemically important bank, you are required to submit resolution plan to Central Bank, all systemically important bank. The first time it was submitted was 2016. The second one was submitted 2017 and supposed to be annual. However, it's a regulatory document, a standard, and except authorized by Central Bank to make same public, we may not make that public.
Let me just emphasize on the plans to achieve single-digit NPL by 2019. You recall that for 2015 financial year end, we took very massive impairment charges to the accounts. And 2016, we continued with that. And yet to date, we've also been quite aggressive in taking impairment charges. So if you aggregate for the period I've referenced, we've taken nearly 450 billion naira in impairment charges. Deliberately so, because we took a view that it was better to clean up the balance sheet and the book during the period of recession. And we said that once the economy restarts or begins to grow again, we will have no reason whatsoever to deal or remain with the legacy issues. So I also have confirmed that there are no new NPL formations, which means we have mapped the universe of NPLs and we are dealing with them. Third point is we have reset our risk appetite from the point of customer selection to the sector we will play in and also managing the loan book very professionally. We do not envisage that we're going to have problems on loan quality going forward. I think that is clear. That is the pathway to achieving single-digit NPL by 2019. We are resolute on that point. Now, I understand there are no other questions coming from you, so let me then thank you very sincerely for your participation and continued interest in the FBNH story. Let me also say that the solid performance we have reported for 9 months we will sustain to the end of the year, and also assure you once again that there are no surprises expected in Q4. Indeed, we have very few unknowns in our books, and therefore you can rest assured that 2017 will be a very good year for FBN Holdings PLC. We look forward to addressing you again in 2018. Thank you very much.
This concludes the FBN Holding 9-month 2017 financial results call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.